following message was given by Brother Frank Hong and Aaron Yankowski in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 29th, 2018. The title of the message is Enjoying Christ as the Reality of the Peace Offering at the Lord's Table to present the total picture of God's economy. Scripture reading, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30.
Thank you, you're in our midst. Oh, we love you. Oh, Lord, we want to worship you with the proper worship that you're seeking, that you desire. Oh, Lord, we give this meeting to you. Lord, speak to us. Speak to each one of us. Make us a genuine worshiper. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today we've come to the last message of the review on the book of Leviticus, section 1, that we have been enjoying quite much in the past few months. And the title of this message from this training that we had is Enjoying Christ as the Reality of the Peace Offering at the Lord's Table to present the total picture of God's economy. This is quite a mouthful, I don't know if you understand everything in this title, but this is such a rich title because the Bible is so rich. And I kind of want to go back to the beginning, about 12 weeks ago when we started the review on the book of Leviticus. Why or what is the main purpose of the book of Leviticus? As many of us who read the Bible know that this is one of the most difficult book to get into. There's no story. There's not a lot of moral lessons for you to learn from. But this book begins with Jehovah speaking at the tent of meeting. Amen. Jehovah has... Jehovah, the God of Israel in the Old Testament, has brought out a group of people who were living in Egypt, signifying the world that we live in. But he has brought them out to the wilderness, to a mountain where he showed them the Ten Commandments as a picture or a depiction of who he is, what kind of God he is to them. And not only the Ten Commandments, but he also gave them the blueprint of the tabernacle. He desired to have a house. He wants to live among his people and with his people. And then that was recorded in the book of Exodus. So by the time we come to this third book of the book of Leviticus, he is speaking from the tent of meeting. He's not just speaking from the heavens, expecting his people to do things for him, but he really desired to live among God's people. And so that book began with the speaking of God, and it began with many offerings. And there are mainly five offerings: the burnt offering, the meal offering, and there's the peace offering, sin offering, and the trespass offering. All these offerings are to help us to worship God and to serve him according to what he has ordained. So as we were in this past few months getting into all the details of these offerings, of course, these days we don't offer these offerings physically, right? But all these offerings shows us aspects of the Christ that we have received, and the Christ that we have enjoyed. And it is God's desire that we will enjoy this Christ, experience this Christ, and bring this Christ to the meetings, especially the Lord's table meetings, so that God can have a food that he enjoyed, that satisfy him. And we can enjoy Christ together. So I was touched with two verses that we didn't read. Maybe we can read those two verses from the Old Testament. That is Numbers 28:2. Numbers 28:2. Let's read this verse together, and then we'll read Exodus 23:15 together. Command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my offerings by fire of a satisfying fragrance to me. You shall be careful to present to me at its appropriate time. Exodus 23:15. You shall feast of unleavened bread as I commanded you, 7 days of week. These two verses tells us that in Numbers 28:2, that God wants his food, right? It says, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering. All these offerings that we offer to God are God's food. And this is something he requires because God, our God wants, quote, to eat. He wants to eat. When it comes to God, we think God has everything. There's nothing I can offer that can meet God's need, right? If he's God, would he have any need? Well, this verse tells us that he wants food. All the offerings that we have enjoyed and enter into are his food. And Exodus 23:15 says that no one shall appear before me empty. No one shall appear before me empty. So today, as we come to study this matter of the peace offering, we need to keep this in mind, that the peace offering is related to the worship of God, and our worship is not something religious, but it's an offering of food to both God and to man. We'll get into that a little bit later. When it comes to a matter of worship, I look up the dictionary, and worship to many people is something that needs to be done reverently to God, right? When we consider God, we always consider we need to worship God. But our natural and even religious concept is that we need to worship God in doing certain things. So when you talk to someone concerning the worship of God, and specifically in our Lord's table meeting, people think of certain rituals that they have to do or certain things that they have to partake. And with the newer generations also, when you mention worship, I get this a lot with the college students. They think of a certain songs, maybe Christian songs, that they sing during the Lord's table meeting. Now, all these are not necessarily wrong, but these are very superficial concepts concerning worship of God. In the book of John, chapter 4, once the Lord was talking to this Samaritan woman, and when the topic got to the matter of worship, this Samaritan woman says, you Jews worship in Jerusalem. We Samaritans worship in this mountain. What do you say about that? And the Lord Jesus himself personally said, I tell you, hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truthfulness. For the Father also seeks such to worship him. This was a very important verse coming directly from the mouth of our Lord Jesus concerning the worship of God, that our Father is seeking the true worshipers. He's seeking those who will worship in spirit and in truthfulness. So there are two things that he mentioned, in spirit and in truthfulness, or with truthfulness, in spirit and truthfulness. Spirit here refers to the place where today you need to worship God. To that Samaritan woman, it's either in Jerusalem or in that mountain. To him, to her, to worship God, you need to go to a certain place. And that's commonly many people's understanding today. If I want to worship God, I need to go to a church. To their understanding, church is a building, a special building that you can go there to worship God. But the Lord Jesus' answer is, today the Father is seeking someone to worship in spirit. This spirit refers to our human spirit indwelled by the Spirit of God. God has created in each one of us a human spirit. And with the Spirit, we can receive God and contact God. And when you open up your heart to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are regenerated. And the Lord, as the Spirit, comes to live in your spirit. So this spirit here refers to our human spirit indwelled by God the Spirit. It is in this place that we worship God, that we render God the proper worship. You may be sitting in a nice cathedral, but if you never receive God, if God is not living in your spirit, or if God is in your spirit, you do not exercise your spirit, then the worship that you have is something that's religious and hypocritical, because it does not match what you're saying, what you're singing does not match the genuine worship that you have. So we have to realize that to worship God, and specifically, again, referring to our Lord's table meeting, when we come to the Lord's table, we are here to worship God in spirit. So whatever we do, whatever hymn we sing, we need to exercise our spirit. Amen. We need to exercise our spirit. If we don't use our spirit, there is no worship, because God is not being contacted, and God and Christ is not being enjoyed. In the Lord's answer, he also mentioned this word truthfulness. And truthfulness here actually refers to all the offerings. Or I believe when John was writing this verse, he had this in mind. One is the place. In the Old Testament, they had to go to Jerusalem to worship God. In the Old Testament, when they worship God, they also have to bring offerings. They cannot go empty-handed. So in the New Testament, the place is the Spirit. It's our human spirit indwelled by God the Spirit. Truthfulness here refers to the offerings that we need to bring. So whenever we come to the meetings, and again, specifically to the Lord's table meetings, we need to bring something. We need to bring something. Not only we need to come physically, but we need to come with something. Not something monetary. You know, again, a lot of people go to church to worship God. They go and they bring their offerings. To them, offerings are something financial, monetary. I'm not referring to that kind of offerings. The offerings that we've seen in the Old Testament and the proper offerings that we need to bring are the experiences of Christ that we've experienced during the week. All the offerings that we've seen, the burnt offering, the meal offering, sin offering, the trespass offering, signify Christ in his various aspects. And this Christ today is for us to experience and enjoy. And when we come to the peace offering, they bring this peace offering to the tent of meetings, and there's four parties here, then they all have something to enjoy together. This peace offering is a feast, because as the offerer brings this offering to the tent of meeting, God has a certain portion. All the fats and inward parts of the peace offerings belong to God. And this is the top portion. So God has something in the peace offering. The offerer gets most of the meat, right? The offerer enjoys something. The serving priest also enjoys something. And then all the congregation also has a portion to enjoy. So this peace offering is really a picture, or maybe I'll say it this way, this peace offering today is being fulfilled in our Lord's table meeting, or in the practice of our Lord's table meeting. So when we come to the Lord's table, we need to come with this anticipation. We're bringing something. We shouldn't come empty-handed, but we all need to bring something to enjoy with God and to enjoy with one another. And this something that we bring is the experiences of Christ that we've experienced. And in the Lord's table meeting, we need to learn to offer that in our praise to Christ and our praise to the Father to satisfy Him. So praise the Lord for the Lord's table meeting. I believe we enjoy the Lord's table meeting today, but our enjoyment of the Lord's table meeting needs to improve. In March, a group of us brothers, we visited the churches in Taiwan. And at the end of our one-week trip, it was on the Lord's Day, and many of us, we went to attend the Lord's table meeting in the different homes. So I had a picture sent to the brothers. I don't know if they were able to post it. So I and Brother Israel, we went to one home of about 30 saints. And we had the Lord's table meeting for about 45 minutes. And in that Lord, and on behalf of all the brothers that went, we were all very impressed how enjoyable are the Lord's table meeting with all the saints there. And one striking point that that really impressed us is they did not sing a lot of songs in the Lord's table meeting. You know, here on average we sing during the Lord's table meeting about 7 or 8 songs or hymns. There, with these about 30 or so saints, for 45 minutes, we sang 2 songs. We sang 2 songs. But the enjoyment that the saints brought in their praises and their prayers to Christ and to the Father was tremendous. It was really, the saints would pray one after another, something that they've enjoyed. It's from the hymns that we sang, but as the saints were praying, you can tell some had some experience Christ being their strength. They were strengthened by the Lord during the week. And some, as they pray, they realized that the Lord is their comforter. They were comforted by the Lord. So in their prayers, many of the experiences, enjoyment of the saints came out in their prayers. And I feel, saints, we need more of this in our Lord's table meeting. You know, the Lord's table meeting is not just a singing meeting. Of course, here in the Lord's table, we don't have a message. No one gets up and share a message to edify the saints. We're all here participating in this wonderful feast of praising our Lord through the singing of hymns. But the singing of the hymns are primarily for us to praise, to offer our prayers. So I kind of want to encourage the saints to sing a little less, or maybe fewer hymns. And especially to some of the saints who call the hymns very often, I would kind of like to exhort you, wait a little longer. You know, many times there may be some pause during our Lord's table meeting, right? And some of us may be a little impatient. Oh, what's the next hymn? We got to call another hymn, because we cannot stand silence in the meeting. But often, actually, there's something going on within me, that I am trying to find out how to utter my praise to the Lord. And someone called another hymn. And so that feeling kind of goes away. So I think it's worthwhile for us all to pay attention to our Lord's table meeting for the saints' feeling to pray. You know, if we just have a Lord's table meeting where we just keep singing one hymn after another, or maybe after a hymn, let's sing it again, that's not so rich in the content of the Lord's table meeting. Because we're just singing, but no one is offering something that they've enjoyed during the week, or something that they've been touched by something in the hymns. So in the Lord's table meeting, we all have to learn to offer. Maybe you didn't enjoy that much during the week. You don't have that much to say. But as we're singing, quite sometimes a word or a stanza or something in the hymns that we sang touches you concerning an aspect of the Lord. So we need to learn to offer that to the Lord as our offering, as the peace offering. Amen. So that's really one of my burden is we would learn to praise the Lord with truthfulness. Amen. Not just here to pass the time because we have to be here. I just come every Lord's Day and I sit through an hour of singing and praising. But we need to consider, we need to come to this meeting to offer something that we've enjoyed of the Lord so that the Father is satisfied, right? He is seeking such genuine worshiper to worship him. And then we also are satisfied. If many of us pray, that would really be a feeding to all the saints. So in this matter of the peace offering, we see that in Leviticus that you could offer the peace offering. There are many different kinds of offering. You can offer it from herd, meaning an ox, or you can offer from something from the flock, a sheep, and then also you can offer a lamb as a peace offering or a goat. So all these signifies Christ in our experience. Christ objectively, of course, is the same. He is not of different size or different strength. But in our experience of him, or in the condition where we experience him this week, sometimes we experience him as a strong ox. He really becomes our strength. Sometimes we experience him as a meek sheep, right? He just go along with our situation. He comforts us. He cares for us. So in our experience of Christ, we may this week experience him as a sheep. Last week we experienced him as an ox. This week as a sheep. And then sometime as a lamb, some that is perfect and beautiful. Sometime as a goat. Goat here refers to Christ being made sin on our behalf. Maybe this week you had a conviction of how sinful you are, but you still have Christ. That through Christ you can still come to God. That is your experience. That is the Christ that you need to bring and offer to the tent of meetings as the peace offerings. So in the matter of the peace offering, we see that the offerings are in different size. Also can be offered in different ways. Some offer the peace offering as a thanksgiving offering. Some, and with this thanksgiving offering, you can eat for a day. And some offer the peace offering as a vow to the Lord, as a vow to Jehovah, a free will offering. And this is something a little stronger. It's more specific than just a thanksgiving offering. And that you can eat for 2 days. But all the offerings it has to be subjective to us. All these should not just remain on a piece of paper where we know, but we need to experience. Amen. So, saints, we need to practice. There's a lot to this message. I hope you can share later what you've enjoyed. I would just like to end with one verse, and that is Philippians 4:9. How about let's read this verse together? The things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, that the God of peace be with you. We may be leaving the review of the book of Leviticus for a while, but I hope this will not stop us from enjoying and practicing the God of peace in all these offerings. We need to practice. Saints, if you know, every week we come to the Lord's table meeting, right? And this is one meeting that's so important to the Lord and so important to all of us in our spiritual going on. And I just have a sense that we need to practice more. We need to enjoy the Lord as our portion given to us by God, and we need to learn to offer that when we come to the Lord's table meeting and to share that with all the saints. Amen.
Well, the book of Leviticus is comprised of God speaking to his people out from the tent of meeting. And the content of his speaking was his training his people to worship him, to partake of him, and to live a holy, clean, and rejoicing life. Well, a prominent theme among these was worship. Throughout this whole training, the topic of worship has come up again and again. And you consider, what is training? Well, if you look at a dictionary, it will tell you that training is a learned behavior. And for a behavior to be learned implies that the natural behavior needs to be undone. And it's to learn to do things in a way that isn't according to our natural life. And you just consider the matter of worship and humanity and religion, there are innumerable ways that our natural life has developed to worship God. But when we come to the book of Leviticus, we see that the kind of worship God wants, he wants the presentation of offerings. And when we compare the book of Leviticus to the New Testament, it's so clear these offerings typify Christ, and Christ fulfills each one of these offerings. Well, concerning the matter of worship, there is really an outstanding portion of the scripture, and that's in the New Testament in John chapter 4 regarding worship. And in that portion, the Lord Jesus was having a discussion with this woman, and she was talking about her background and talking about religion. And in his response to her, he said this in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. He said, "But an hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truthfulness, for he also seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness." Well, there are three big points from these verses that I want to kind of highlight. And that is, number one, God is seeking worship. Amen. God wants worship from you. And God wants worship from me. And with that worship, there are two items. There's the place, and then there's the content. Well, the place in the Old Testament was the city of Jerusalem. You know, according to Deuteronomy, this is the place God chose. This is the place he lived, and this is where his people were to worship him. Well, in the New Testament, according to Ephesians 2:22, it says, "In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit." So in the New Testament, God's dwelling place is in the spirit of man. In our human spirit, even in our corporate spirit, is God's dwelling. So the place to worship God in the New Testament is our spirit. Amen. Well, how about the content? It's not so simple. It's not easy like the place where we have one verse so clear. Well, the content is truthfulness. And truthfulness can also be rendered reality. But what is reality there? Well, you really have to look at all of John's writings. It's not so clear. You might, reality, maybe it's genuineness, so like keep it real, and that's good enough. But you got to look at John's, you got to look at the epistles, you got to look at his gospel and really consider, what did he mean? That's a big word. When you look at it and you really think, what is truthfulness? Well, truthfulness and reality in John's writings, so many items of Christ, so many positive items of who Christ is. And among these, certainly the offerings. And in certain places, Christ as the offering, it's explicit. Almost it says, you know, with the brass serpent being lifted up, him being the propitiation place, and being our propitiation. It's clear concerning the trespass offering and the sin offering. And you study the rest of John's writings, all the different offerings become very clear in an implied way, but when you study it, it's so clear and it's there. So when the Lord said that God wanted to be worshipped in truthfulness, this is what he's saying, is that the truthfulness is the experience of Christ as the offerings in worship to God. So when we talk about worship, you know, because God is spirit, we have a human spirit, we can worship God anywhere, at any time, in any place, we can always worship him. But probably the most prominent type of worship in the New Testament is the Lord's table. And with the Lord's table, considering it through the lens of Leviticus, you know, it's really striking. The correspondence and the correlation between the peace offering and the Lord's table. And there's a lot there, but I'd say especially concerning mutuality. You know, with none of the other offerings, do you have these five different parties who enjoy the offering together? So you have the priest who's offering the sacrifice. You have the priesthood. You have the God himself, that should be number one. God himself is enjoying the sacrifice, the body of the priests, the offering priest, the offerer themselves, and then the whole cleansed congregation. When you consider the Lord's table, it's not just me who goes to enjoy peace with God, but it's you and me enjoying peace together. It's you enjoying peace together with God. It's me enjoying peace together with God. And it's all of us enjoying Christ together. This is seen in the peace offering. So it's clear the peace offering has something so close to do with the Lord's table. Now, I think it's instructive to consider the peace offering in its many aspects in terms of how it will help us in our worship to God in the Lord's table meeting. And there are a lot of different aspects, but there is just actually one that I wanted to highlight to you, and that's that with the peace offering, they could offer different types of offerings. It could be male, meaning something very strong. It could be female, meaning not quite as strong. It could be something really great, like an ox from the herd. It could be something very pleasant, like a lamb. And it could be something less comely, like a goat. And we know goats in the Bible aren't very positive. There's a place in the Old Testament that talks about it. And then in the later part of the book of Matthew, you have the sheep that are good, and you have the goats, they're not good. They're separated, right? But so you kind of wonder, why would God not just ask for the highest standard? You know, like with my children, I don't present the acceptable standard of behavior. I, you know, present the highest standard and the paragon. This is what you should be. I don't say, well, it's okay if you're like this. But so that's kind of interesting, right? God presents something that's not the best, but he's still presenting what is acceptable. And so you consider, well, what does that mean? So this signifies that Christ never changes. He's always the same. But in my feeling and in my experience, Christ may be really strong and really high experience at one time, but at other times my experience is, you know, maybe a little bit weaker. You know, actually, over the weekend, I think when I was with my children, I can tell you, they were coming to me when I was getting ready for this, and that's not so easy, trying to focus, and they come into the room, they want to laugh, and they want to talk. But I can tell you, and I think I can testify with honesty, I experienced something of Christ as the meal offering. There's just something within. You know, remember the meal offering that impressed me so much about it is the frankincense. And the frankincense means that in a condition of suffering, when Christ suffered, he didn't express suffering. He expressed the sweetness of resurrection. And I can't say that I expressed the sweetness of resurrection completely, but when my children came, a little frustrating, there was something within that was supplying. And so an angry sort of response or reaction didn't come out. There's just peace. Let them be there. The Lord will supply. It'll be okay. And it's good. It's fine. But then in my interaction with another member of my family later that day, you know, not so strong in the meal offering. And so have you ever had the sense, like when you go to the Lord's table, maybe my experience wasn't so good, and because my experience of Christ wasn't so strong, I might as well just keep my mouth shut. I don't have much to offer to the Lord. Well, I would say, no! This is not what the Lord is saying in Leviticus. He is saying, whatever you've experienced of Christ, I want it. He is seeking worship. And that worship is anything of Christ that is reality. So even if it's something that's not so comely like a goat, he's still hungry for it. He's still seeking it because it's reality. This is the truthfulness that God wants, and this is the worship he is seeking. So maybe our experience is really high, we should offer it up. But maybe our experience isn't as good as another brother and sister. We should be genuine and still offer it up. Because this is what God is seeking. Amen. So I just wanted to close with a few verses that I think help to highlight this point. Not only highlight it, but maybe strengthen it and encourage us that we need to offer what we experience of Christ to God in the Lord's table. Amen. So Hebrews 13:15. Through him then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually to God, that is the fruit of lips confessing his name. Psalm 8:2, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. Psalm 48:2, great is Jehovah and much to be praised. Psalm 50:23, whoever offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. Psalm 116:17, to you I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Amen. So brothers and sisters, I will stop there to transition to our districts. We will sing hymn number 1104. Oh, amen. It was not on the script.
Don't worry, I will not speak long. But I do have much burden for the Lord's table. Amen. And I just want to encourage all of you that all of you could have a part in the Lord's table. First of all, maybe we can read again Matthew 26:26-30, or maybe not read it, just I'll mention some things out of it. First of all, the Lord himself set up the Lord's table. And then it says that he took bread and blessed it. And then he took a cup and blessed it. Maybe I'm too much, but I really enjoy when the brothers come to bless the cup and the bread, that they thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
And then it was mentioned behavior. Well, concerning behavior, we have a particular behavior in the Old Testament, which I believe the Lord wants today. In Deuteronomy 27:7, it says, "And you shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there, and you shall," are you ready? "Rejoice!" You know, in all the feasts in Israel, people had to rejoice. You even had trumpets. When we come to the Lord's table, do we come, "Oh no, what happened today? I fought with my wife." No, rejoice.
Amen.
Why rejoice? Because we can partake of what? We can have fellowship of what? As it says in 1 Corinthians, it tells us the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? That word fellowship includes a lot more than just fellowship. It includes participation. And then the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? So don't ask me to explain the fellowship, but it means that we partake of the Lord when we come to the Lord's table. Oh, wait a minute. That is not such a small thing, really. And then we have Revelation 1, 5, and 6. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God." This is the kind of worship we should have. But there's a very striking two verses here, Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one." For which cause, what? He, the Lord, is not ashamed to call us brothers.
Amen.
Because we have the same life.
Amen.
We are of the same source.
Amen.
But what more? The Lord says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the church, I will sing hymns of praise to you."
Amen.
If we don't praise, how is the Lord going to praise in our meeting? And finally, in Matthew 26:30, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They sang a hymn. Obviously, that hymn was for the Father. So that's why we do have the Lord's table, two parts on the Lord's table. Finally, I hope I'm not too much. I just want to give a testimony. that the Lord has impressed me before I come to the Lord's table. I have to come to the Lord to prepare me for the Lord's table. And when I'm in the Lord's table, I seek the Lord's leading concerning anything I may do. But I was struck by one of the verses that we, from the Old Testament, we should not come to the Lord's table empty-handed. Now, in our particular case, empty-handed is not that we bring something. We bring the Lord Jesus that we have experienced.
Right.
So this means, in the Lord's table, none of us, what? None of us should be quiet.
Amen.
It doesn't take much. You can say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We can say one or two words. We can say hallelujah, but at least we're not silent on the Lord's table. You know, we need to appreciate the Lord's table more.
Amen.
Another testimony, sorry. When I received the bread and the cup, I thanked the Lord that I have the privilege of taking the bread and the cup.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing 1104, as we sing, the saints from the different language meetings, feel free to go to your meetings. One announcement,
praise the Lord. Car keys that were lost have been found. We don't know if they belong to someone in this room, but we think they do. It's from a 2009 Honda Civic that is dark blue, heavenly blue, maybe like this color, but a little darker. And it's parked over on Henley Road at 18445. We think it's a saint. The trim on the license plate says, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Almost a giveaway. But anyhow, the license plate are New York plates, HLD 5855. Come see me. I've got your keys. Thanks. And we'll sing 1104.